The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander. Kelly's behind the glass because, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Billy!
Hey, morning.
What's happening, man?
Oh, boy. I got a lot of things to go over because someone's been on vacation for 6 months or 3 months, whatever.
6 months.
Yeah.
By the way, the only
guy that I would actually tap my Dorothy shoes,
yeah,
and then just with the wish to trade lives. Well, just my one wish, not to go home, to get out of Oz, to go back to Kansas. My only wish is just to trade lives with Gil Alexander.
That's very kind of you.
Yeah,
no problem. I think
that's it. Yeah, I'm being kind.
I was working 3 of those 6 weeks. I was gone.
If you want to call it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did I say
from
to you?
The beach
I go,
in the background.
Does this look like vacation to you? I said to you when you said.
You did. I'm just you know I'm busting stones.
Bill Krakenberger, by the way, at Bill Krakman with a K. Name of the podcast is Wise Cracks with Bill Krakenberger and John Orlando, which you do now from right here.
Right here at Circa.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had Derek Stevens on last week. I can't believe the amount of people that reached out to me. Personally, I don't really do Facebook, but on Facebook, someone put on that, and then a couple people commented. Everyone loved that episode. Why? Because Derek was so transparent about everything.
Yes.
I asked him how much it cost. I said, you know, how much does it cost you to run this thing? I said, you know, it has to cost you money. The app. You have people that have to work nothing but this. You have to put that all in to the equation, and it costs millions to run it for free.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
But how
transparent Derek was and says, I get all the money back.
Yeah, so I'm not speaking out of school on this. Derek was kind enough to spend 15 minutes with me randomly in the parking lot yesterday. Love Derek. But he's talked about this openly on your podcast. He says the contest, we're talking about millions, both survivors all together. The figure he said on your podcast was $7 million.
Yeah. And people say, oh, it's going to cost $7 million. But he kind of proved, you know. But then he said, listen, I get $2 million back at the bar. People come in to sign up. They're drinking, having a good time. How about this, he said? How about they come into the sports book and betting? They actually bet futures. I had guys bet. He talked about this without me asking him. He said, I had guys come in and bet Kansas City Chiefs. They bet $100,000 on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I won that. He said, how about, he said 25, I think it was 25 across the board, 25, you know, to win the division, the AFC, and then the Super Bowl. And then he said I made more money at the pool. I tracked it, how much more money I made.
Yeah.
He said, I got all the money back. He didn't have to say all that. And what other casino corporation is going to talk about that? You have the casino
awesome.
Owner.
Yeah.
So a fantastic episode. If you want to watch that on YouTube, just go to YouTube, go to Bill Krakenberger Wager Talk, and you'll see all my shows, including yesterday's show, which was fantastic, too. We interviewed a proxy yesterday, talked about some things in the contest. But Derek's last week interview, I had Chris Felica on, so with Jeff Schwartz. That was a really good couple interviews. People want to watch that.
Derek said some stuff. I don't know what he wants to keep between us or what's available for air, but I will just say this. Hearing that story about, you know, the cost of the contest, how he is able to make the back. He has built a brand here at Circa and what I call the Shangri-La here in the desert, right? And it's just a beloved brand, and he's super smart about what he does. And it does beg, not beg the question, it sort of then leaps to mind, these other folks who are trying to do competing contests, right? I wonder if they understand all of those economics.
Yeah,
when they embark on such an endeavor.
But they're charging 7%, I think, over there too, aren't they? I think there's a
rake in that one.
There's a rake in that one, so they're making back, you know, a couple million dollars there, and that probably still doesn't pay for the overhead of running in the contest, the software you need, and by the way, it's there is a competition, and there is another company out there that. Guaranteed $1 million more. And even the owner reached out to me. I showed you last night. The owner reached out to me of that site. And they were very nice. The guy's very nice to me and just wanted to show me. Of course, he wants advertisement. I get it. But that's not going to happen. I'm doing my show here at Circa. My allegiance is here at Circa. And by the way, I am nuts about the no rake. I love that.
Yeah.
I love no rake. And we're heading at a number here at this, you know, they're guaranteed $20 million for what everyone loves, the Survivor. We're probably heading in upwards of 23 to 25 million.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, so this is going to be, this is at a record pace here. So the other site guaranteeing their 21 million, this one will be higher. The other one might be higher too, I'm not saying that. But not only, Derek talked about millions in a way that I never thought too, the millions contest. He said, he pointed, he goes, you're a guy that would like this. He said, you're getting, he goes, you'll probably have 6 or 7% EV. He used those words on the millions contest. And I said, oh really? I said, so how much of an overlay? He goes, well, the overlay, I'm talking about a little bit of the overlay. Maybe we'll have a 300, 400,000 I have to put in out of my own pocket for the overlay. But what I'm talking about is people don't realize sometimes there's contests within the contest. And they get upset when they go 1 and 9. It's right. Just put whatever you want here. They don't even take into consideration there's quarterly prizes
they
that are giant.
After the 1 and 9.
And what about the people that don't put the picks in?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I never think, but last year, I bet you 200 people didn't put picks in. I mean,
probably around there.
Like, it's unbelievable when you look at the weeks and you say, how can it be possible? Week one, I don't know the number. Maybe you or Kelly know this number. I don't know the number. Survivor, week one. Didn't it have like 50 people that didn't put the pick in week one? The first week, 50,000 extra.
You know what I say about that, though? I say this every year. Last man standing over at stations is, what, $100 for like 5 entries in
there?
That's fun,
yeah.
Okay. I, one year, the last year I did it because of this happening, it was the last year, I completely forgot that I signed up for it at the beginning of August. And then when football season rolled around, like it never occurred to me that I forgot all about it. So $100,
to the pool.
But my $100 could be somebody else's $1,000, right?
Yeah.
What $100 means to me, maybe those guys are
sure.
So well off, right?
It that does.
$1,000, or they just simply forgot. I don't know.
Yeah, it does mean. I think it is. I think there's a lot of rich people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Bitcoin money out there right now. There's a lot of young people that made a lot of money and a lot of different things. And I think there's a lot of loose money out there. I mean, you know, for everyone complained about the economy and stuff. Well, the gambling economy is a total different thing. Gambling always flourishes, even during the Great Depression. Gambling always flourishes.
It's the
people, and then even people. It's the sad thing is, there's a portion of people that, you know, are hurting very bad. And I want to tell you something. A lot more percentage than you would think that go to the casinos monthly and gamble, trying to make a score to make their bills.
Sad.
So John Randall being one of them. Anyway.
My podcast partner. No, it's the old, I've said this many times, Letterman for like a week back in the day when we were kids, Letterman's show. He's dying at this one joke he heard. And he kept repeating it all week long, which is, you know, it's the old tale of there's a guy, he's in Vegas. I think I've told this a million times. There's a guy in Vegas. He goes from house to house in Vegas, like there's a, you know, like he's in a residential neighborhood, knocking on the door. He's like, hey, sorry, I know you don't know me, but I'm here on Vegas on vacation, and my wife has taken terribly ill. She's in the hospital. I was wondering if you can't help me out with some money. And they look at him, they say, sir, we'd love to help you, but like, we don't know you. We don't know if you're telling the truth. I'm sorry, we just can't help you. He goes from house to house to house. He goes to 8, 9 houses. Finally goes to the 10th house or 11th house. He says, sir, ma'am, thank you for answering the door. I know you don't know me. I know I'm a perfect stranger, but I'm here on Vegas on vacation. My wife is taken gravely ill. She's in the hospital. I'm having a little trouble paying the bills. Could you help me out with some cash? And they say, well, sir, we'd love to help you. This is a terrible story. I hope she feels better. We'd love to help you, but how do I know you're not going to just take this money and go gamble it away in the casinos? Goes, oh, I got gambling money.
I have gambling money.
That's right. It's always a different
line.
Compartmentalization, right?
Great line.
Yeah.
That's funny. That was David Letterman?
Letterman was telling this joke.
Oh, it's funny because now I know he retired.
Yes.
But yet he has a show. I just heard the advertisement for a show on Netflix.
Yeah, he interviews one-on-one.
He interviews one-on-one. Yeah. So he didn't retire, but he's now at his own. I guess he can record wherever he wants. There,
it's like Oprah.
Daily.
They do what they want now.
Yeah, they do what they want now.
Yeah.
He's got hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing up a very sensitive subject. Boy, you don't know about this. Very sensitive. So there's a guy on Twitter. His name is Todd Whittles. Todd is Poker Fraud Alert is at Poker Fraud Alert. So he calls out a lot of the things he sees, and if he sees he'll go after certain people, and if he has that's his site actually, Poker Fraud Alert. So Sometimes he could be a little tough. I told him I was going to do this. I never met him, but I texted him on Twitter, DM'd him, and told him I was going to come on. Sometimes he could be a little rough and maybe not, maybe do a little more due diligence before going after someone. I think I've told him that already, though, but I like him, or else I wouldn't be talking about him. Put a great. He actually put it sticky on his tweet here. I know for a fact that there are several Circa Survivor syndicates who own hundreds of tickets. They can take both sides on Thanksgiving and Christmas, as well as potentially tough weeks. I'm playing 10 regardless, but just know you're at a disadvantage as a normal player. This is not new. This is also not new. Last year, the sharp players who miraculously picked dogs on Thanksgiving had both sides. They got the best result possible, of course. I said so at the time, and I'm just reminding everyone what they are realistically up against. Well, I think we know that.
He's right.
I think, and yet, even he said, I'm taking 10 regardless.
Yeah, he's taking 10 regardless. Yeah.
Now, he's right. Now, I only mentioned this once on the show. There was 307 entries. 306. 306. I think it was 306. I know someone that was involved in a 306 entry that's $306,000.
Yeah.
They didn't get a penny back.
Yeah. There's so no guarantee you win.
I'm just saying, I know someone that was involved in one of those syndicates.
Win. Yep.
$306,000 did not get a penny back. I have no problem taking the max entries in this contest. But Todd pointed that out. But yeah. I already talked about couple of weeks ago.
No guarantee you win, but it sure do help, right? We got to say that.
Right.
The only thing that bothers me is if you're one of these people with massive amounts of entries and you do get to the finish line, stop chirping at the end.
That's exactly right.
Stop Spot chirping. On. Like, that you don't get to do that. Yeah. Coming back on A Numbers Game right here at VC.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season almost here. Sharp money already moving. Here's how the sharp plays. Sees it first. Exclusive data feeds from four major sports books. Thousands of sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. That's the machine. Now the receipts. Every play logged, every result public, records back to 2011, live logs since 2021. It all feeds a live performance terminal. Check it out anytime. No login, no paywall. Nobody else in the industry runs one. The Sharp Plays record gets audited daily by their own haters, they say. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Check it out. Sharpplays.com. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Jeff Erickson about to join us. We were having this great conversation off air. It's one that comes up, I don't know, once every year, once every 2 years.
Yeah, I love it.
How many of the 50 United States have you ever set foot in?
I'm going to have to count for myself while you and Jeff are talking, because, man, did you, both of you have impressively high numbers.
Well, I thought I was high. First of all, if you grew up or you live in the eastern...
That's the cheat code.
Yeah, there's so many small states in the northeast and the eastern,
I've never
above the mid-Atlantic.
Never lived any significant portion of my life in the northeast.
That's
so
the cheat code.
Yeah.
Jeff Erickson joins us now. Jeff Erickson making the outlandish claim that his father invented the question mark. No, that he has now set foot after his last vacation in 48 of the 50 states. Wow.
Four of them in the Northeast on this latest trip. You know, you talked about it. You can bang out four of them in a day there. You know, I first of all, there are ground rules. No airport. You know, airports don't count.
You actually have
to step foot in your state of place there. Honestly, there's a couple that, you know, I think drive-throughs, you even need to stop in the state. You can't just drive through it either. And, you know, you are seeing the state when you drive through it, but you got to get out of the car at least once and all that there. And I have a couple that are a little janky, like New Hampshire, we barely spent any time on in this trip. I'm counting it because we got out of the car and, you know, did step foot there. But usually should do something in each state there. Have something to remember it by. You know, it's really truly what it is there. My defense, it was a pouring rainstorm when we went through New Hampshire this trip, so we didn't get to see a whole lot of that. But it's a great thing. My parents were a road trip family growing up, so I grew up in the Midwest, so we just it intersects with a lot too. I grew up in Indianapolis, lived in Kansas, lived in Chicago. You know, it helps to have lived in multiple places too.
Only two states you have not been to are
Delaware. So I guess I need to start a bank or incorporate. I'll just go to Philly or DC and do a day trip.
That's right.
And then Alaska, which everyone says do a cruise. I've never done a cruise in my life. I probably will at some point though.
My dad never went on a cruise for most of his life. He always like, I'm not interested. And then like when he was in his 70s, my parents went on a cruise to Alaska. And my dad would gleefully call me and be like, do you know how much a bald eagle weighs?
Once I turn like 65, that's all I'm doing for the rest of my life. Chris Felica on an Alaska cruise right now, right?
I didn't know it was Alaska. Yeah, I believe he's going to ask it.
Alaskan cruise, I believe. I need one rule clarification from Jeff. If I was driving and moving, right, and I'm going through a state, but your car breaks down in a state and you had to stay there for a day, does that count?
Of course. Oh, easily. Okay. Yeah, easily.
But I didn't plan
it. You spent money in that state. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You don't have to plan it. It's just got to happen.
What if I got multiple speeding tickets in a state?
Oh, extra points.
Yeah. Hey, you stopped, you spent money in the state. Yeah, absolutely. No. I mean, if you drove through a corner of it and didn't stop, that wouldn't count in my mind. But anything else, I think it's fair game. You put that foot on the ground. It's good.
Okay. All right,
Jeff, baseball today. It's Thursday, so it's not a complete slate, but we do have a Field of Dreams game in Iowa, Dyersville, Iowa, between the Phillies and the Twins. And you were saying off air, I mean, you got to have a bet in this game, right?
Yeah, of course, especially on a light slate. You got to get in the spirit of things here. Aaron Nola is on the mound against a Minnesota Twins team that has a lot of left-handed power on the team. Nola's allowed 29 homers this season, 18 against left-handers. Dyersville, it's slightly a pitcher's park, so it's a little chancy here. Nola's got pretty bad home road splits. He's worse at home than on the road, so we're removing Citizens Bank from the equation, unfortunately. And still, it's Aaron Nola day. We got to have some action here. I'm going Trevor Larnach, plus 600 at FanDuel as my Dinger Thursday bet here. It's a fun little play. I think you could probably find some better, return on investment plays. But I want to have a little skin in the game here on this one here. So let's have some fun with Trevor Larnach.
Talking to Jeff Erickson, of course, co-host of Prop Points, which follows us here on air at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. He does it, of course, with Nick Whalen. Okay, Trevor Larnach, home run in the game tonight in Iowa, plus 600. Let's talk some National Football League season longs. We haven't had a chance to catch up. I'm looking for your favorite season win totals. Let's do an over. Let's do an under. Let's do overs first. What do you like as your favorite over?
I think the Denver Broncos are mispriced at 9.5 wins. Not priced, but miscast at 9.5 wins. It's clearly a belief that the division is tough, that you've got the Chiefs, you've got the Chargers, and the Raiders will be slightly better. But, I mean, this is a Bo Nix injury away from being a Super Bowl team last year, and they're being treated more like a 500 team. Did they have some incredible luck in some end games? Absolutely. Yeah, that Giants game in particular was insane. But I like what they did in adding Jaylen Waddle. I don't think they lost a whole lot defensively. I think that this is a team that is just they are just rebuilding, not rebuilding, but just rebounding for another good season. I think this is just a quality good team. You got the Sean Payton factor is a plus factor. It's a tougher schedule. It's a first place schedule. You start the year on the road at the Chiefs there. But if you're going to have to play the Chiefs on the road at some point in time, wouldn't you rather play them in week one when we don't know what we're getting out of Mahomes? I think this is a plus to play them this early here.
And then you have an underplay here that I'm very interested in. You are under on the Falcons.
Yeah, it's already been the training camp from hell for the Falcons here. And I don't, it's dangerous to kind of overreact to things that have happened here. But factor in, you're not going to have a pass rush this year. You know, you got Jalen Walker out for the season already. Devastating injury. Remember, they moved mountains to get him and James Pierce. Pierce is probably facing a suspension. We're talking probably 8+ games. That's what Josh Kendall of The Athletic was saying the other day there, evaluating the situation. He's been mostly practicing with the threes because they know they're probably not going to be without him for a good chunk of the season. They didn't add much this offseason either. This is a team that mostly consolidated, and I don't think they were good enough to mostly consolidate. You look at their right tackle situation, they have two ex-Chiefs that they don't want to play. Might be Michael Jarrell at starting at right tackle. Right tackle is super important for this team. Both their quarterbacks are left-handed. And let's talk about those quarterbacks. It's Tua. It's Michael Penix, both coming off of injuries. Tua's practicing more than Penix is right now, but neither of them really inspire a whole lot of confidence. I understand. It's scary to fade a team that has Bijan, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. But just I think the bones on this team are a little rotten. And, I get that they play in an awful division. Every team could win 7 games. Very easily. I could see that. I understand that. I think this is just a disaster team. And I think they didn't have a first round pick this year. They didn't add a whole lot of talent on this team. some of the talent they added, their earliest pick, their second round pick, might not even start. It was a fun little story, Avion Terrell, but because of, you know, the family history on the team, I don't know if that's what they needed at the time there. I think this is a team that's set up for a lot of failure.
That's why we like your perspective. Always an interesting read on things and a different opinion than we've heard on the Falcons anecdotally thus far on this show this offseason. Jeff, we have a few minutes or a couple minutes remaining. I want to seize the opportunity because you're a big fantasy guy, co-founder of RotoWire, obviously, but you're in multiple leagues and multiple sports. For those who are playing fantasy this year, heading into their drafts here in the coming weeks, can you give us a 2026, like, couple, you know, notes that you think are unique to this season that people should think about heading into their drafts?
So every year we say wait on the quarterbacks. You don't even have to wait on the quarterbacks this year. I mean, the fact is, it's still always a great strategy, but the cost of the premium quarterbacks is lower than it's ever been either. The whole fantasy world has gotten onto the story that you don't need to draft a premium quarterback in the first three or four rounds. Josh Allen usually goes in the third or fourth round as the first quarterback. The next quarterback usually doesn't go until the fifth or sixth round. Gone are the days where you got the dumb guy in your league that spends a first-round pick on a quarterback. It just doesn't happen that much anymore in single quarterback leagues. And keep in mind, the way fantasy is played, we devalue the position. There are 12 teams in your league more often than not. We only start one of them. So whoever the 20th best quarterback is in the league is super important in the NFL, but it's not that important in fantasy.
So even if a run happens, as runs do on positions in one's fantasy draft, resist the urge is what you're saying. If it happens too soon, if a run on quarterbacks happens in the third round, don't bite on that.
Absolutely. And the thing is, like, you can get Dak Prescott in the 9th or 10th round. You can get Brock Purdy in the 10th round in most drafts there. Fine quarterbacks, excellent choices. They don't run much, so that's why they get discounted a little bit, but that's fine. There is a premium on running quarterbacks, maybe. But if you want a running quarterback, get Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has already been named the starter. We know that's one thing he can do. He's going to do that still, and he's like QB 15 right now.
If it's Gibbs and Bijan 1-2 in whatever order, who's your favorite wideout? If you're sitting on three and those two guys are gone, do you go wideout at three? And if so, who is it?
It's Ja'Marr Chase. And you can make the argument in some leagues that he could be a legitimate 1.1 choice. Just year after year, you know what you're getting out of him. Explosive play. The vibes on the Bengals are as good as ever. They're chirping a lot in training camp right now. You like to see that sometimes. Maybe it's hubris, but at the same time, they're confident that offensive line is playing as well as it's ever been. We'll see you tonight. They're playing the starters tonight against the Lions, so we'll see.
Jeff, let's have you on before the season. We'll get you more fantasy questions. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Jeff Erickson, co-host of Prop Points. Always a pleasure to have on the show. We're coming back on a numbers game. Crack, top of the hour.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football is back tonight in earnest, and some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. Get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and total picks, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 to get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly, before we get to JVT, one more game tonight. The last of the ones we didn't get through, Titans-Niners. Niners not planning to play their starters against the Titans. Head coach Kyle Shanahan stating there won't be many starters playing. Succinctly, he says, as the team already got heavy work during a joint practice earlier in the week. So Purdy sitting, Trent Williams sitting, Fred Warner, all expected to sit out. McCaffrey, Nick Bosa, remaining sideline, nursing injuries. So rookies, backups, bubble players, majority of playing time. But the Titans, Robert Saleh confirming all the healthy players will be active. And starters will play more than just a single opening series. Cam Ward expected to log multiple early series to gain live reps in the new system. And, that's confirmed by a couple sources. And Carnell Tate, we'll get our first look at him as well.
Yeah,
so,
scooped this one up on open. Didn't really know what the Titans game plan was going to be at that point. But, you know, Niners injuries were already racking up last Friday when I bet this. So this is moved. I think this is the biggest mover on the board here for week one. This opened 49ers 2.5-point favorites. Now they're 6-point dogs. So yeah, I'm on the Titans, but it's moved 8 points from where I bet it.
We're going to start to get at least two or three people every day. They're like, it's substation. Can't be told any differently.
I fired up old Pablo Torre Finds Out, who has an episode on in here this morning.
He's doing that?
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. You know, I love Pablo. There's a couple that are just not as great as some of the other hits. This is one I would say so far. I haven't learned anything.
I tell you, Pablo texted praise after my hot dog breakdown.
Great.
He's impressed by the hot dog breakdown.
I forgot about that.
Jonathan,
whatever to that controversy, the sticking plate controversy.
It just went away.
It just went away completely.
It is a scandal that no one wants to delve into beyond what we did.
Man, they're out there. They're just stacking plates and getting away with it.
I was very proud of that deep dive.
It was impressive.
I spent 10 minutes watching the single camera.
It's impressive,
I'm telling you, she only put down 34.
Man, the stacking plates police.
What's her name?
Miko.
What was her name again? Miko or something?
Miki Sudo.
Miki Sudo. Thank you. Jonathan Von Tobel joins us now. He is the co-host of Money Moves each and every weekday here, Monday through Friday, that he co-hosts with Stormy Bonatoni. It starts at 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern. JVT joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. What's happening? Look at this guy. Svelte. Looks great. How many pounds have you lost?
We're down about like 67 pounds. So we have been cruising. Although I've been thinking about starting steroids in all seriousness because, you know, these last few pounds have been kind of stubborn, want to get a little jacked. And so why not go the synthetic way? So I think I'm, you guys laugh. Like I'm being serious. Like I have thought about steroids and I think I might. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
JVT is going to come in here and rub the clear on his thighs before a broadcast.
Better watch out, man. Every time he walks in already, he looks like that, man.
Seriously, though, like you've cut like 5 to 10 years off your appearance, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you look like you're 14 years old.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. I will say this. That's a good thing because I was out and about one night and I was told, this was like 3 or 4 months ago, like, oh, you look like you're like, I would guess you're 40. And I was like, I'm 35. So we got to keep going.
Yeah, I looked younger than my age till about 43, and then it caught up quick.
You got to stop saying that; it's scaring me.
All right, John, we were just talking about. We'll get to your college football. You tackled the SEC and the Mountain West most prominently in the college football betting guide. I want to save that for the next segment. We were just talking about the NFL preseason beginning with 6 games tonight. Do you have any plays on tonight's slate?
Yeah, there's a couple. One of the games you guys were just talking about, I was listening to you. We'll go Raiders and Cardinals first, but Raiders first half minus the half point. I think it seems somewhat easy, but kind of sniffing around a bit and looking at some of the press conferences from Kubiak, he seems to maybe have that first time head coach sickness in the sense of he actually might be game planning for this thing. So actually throwing out some complex concepts and trying to go out and potentially win this game. He was asked the other day about Fernando Mendoza playing behind the starting offensive line. He kind of hemmed and hawed and was like, yeah, you know, we've got a plan. I think they're probably, because you guys were talking about this, the starting offensive line is going to be out there. They're going to play in front of Kirk Cousins, and I think they're also going to play in front of Fernando Mendoza to give him the best opportunity possible, too. So outside of just the starters playing and the game planning there, I think they're also going to set it up for Mendoza to have some success at home here in front of the fans, too. So I think all of that leads to a half-point lay in that with the Raiders in the first half. I understand that LaFleur is going to play his starters, too, but I kind of trust that Kubiak's actually going to go and put some stuff out there, some complex stuff, to really score some points and have some success. And the other is, I'm just going to kind of push back on the notion of the market thinking that this Bengals team is just going to come out and absolutely blow the doors off the Lions. You know, it's interesting, and you get this dynamic in these preseason games. First half line, 6.5, 7. For the first half, it's like 6.5, 7.
That's right.
I understand that the Bengals are going to play their starters, but I think sometimes, and like Kelly has done this a couple of times now, right? The bettors that bet this are laying 3.5 with the Cincinnati Bengals because that's when it opened. They're not laying 6.5, 7. It seems somewhat aggressive to just assume the Bengals are going to come out here and roll, considering we just don't know what the role of those starters are going to be. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow could play and fulfill the decree that he is starting the game and then hand it off 6 straight times and then head off to the bench. And I just think that we're kind of a little too far here. I understand the Lions aren't going to play any of their guys. They're a little beat up too. They're going to see their two young quarterbacks, or not young quarterbacks, but unknowns, right? Altmyer and Dobbs, who's only been there for a couple of days. But I'm just kind of pushing back on the number here. So Lions for the game +7 and Raiders minus the half point for the first half.
Dobbs is fantastic when you only give him a day or two.
I was just going to say, I like that we're docking the Lions points for that. It's like, this is Dobbs' perfect situation.
Situation knows nothing. There's a couple of things there that I love that you said, which I want to just seize on, which is the affliction of new coaches who handle the preseason in a way they ought not to, is sort of the implication. The greatest example of that ever, Steve Spurrier, when coaching Washington, before the 2002 season, they went to Osaka. They had a game against the Niners in Osaka. Famously, Spurrier was asked a question, hey, what do you have to say about to the people in Osaka before they traveled? And Spurrier goes, tell them I'll see them in Osaka. That's the kind of articulate guy he was. But they threw out the whole... He did everything, like, throughout whatever his whole playbook is. We're just going to pitch it and catch it. They beat the Niners 38-7, right? Danny Werfel throwing the ball around the yard. And the Niners just laughing at him the whole time. Like, okay, yeah, do your thing. So I think you're right. That's a big thing in preseasons. And also, just a betting nuance to what you were saying about, you know, the pro bettors get this number at such a better number than what exists now. Preseason football, and let's just acknowledge, again, we are of the mindset, it is great. Those who handle preseason seriously, you can make a lot of money. It is not a degenerate activity. But it is also true that if you lose on something like what you're talking about, like if you make a bet on a Bengals, you're laying too much. It's also one of the betting things of the sports betting calendar that you can feel so stupid about if you lose. And you'll recognize it as it's happening. You're like, why did I bet this? This is so like I lost my money on this, of all things. So I just think those are a couple of interesting things.
I would also add real quick, Zach Taylor told us last week that the starters were going to play.
Yes.
So it's not like this was like new information and the line came out and the odds makers were shocked by the fact that Joe Burrow was going to be out there. He told us last week, like I think it was last Wednesday. He's like, yeah, we got a plan to play those guys. And then again, reiterated it and the market really freaked out. And obviously these markets are going to move because when sharp guys are coming in and betting it, you're going to move pretty quickly. But I would argue that initial opener of 3.5 had quite a bit of the, hey, the starters are going to play kind of baked into it too. And that's also my line of thinking.
Yeah. We even noticed that during primetime action when like legalization had spread, how people react. So the general public reacts days after news happens. So that's another example.
Yeah, coach says something at practice 2 days before, and then a starting lineup comes out and it moves, and it's like, hey, he said this was going to happen.
John, give us a JVT season long NFL thought or bet that you feel is very different from conventional wisdom.
Ooh, very different from conventional wisdom. Okay.
I'll settle
this
for different.
Okay, I think this is somewhat different, especially because Stormy feels so strongly about it, and I feel other people, because of this team's history, feel strongly about it too. I have a sneaking suspicion the Browns can go over their win total.
Wow.
I think I think this team defensively is very good. I don't think there's really any question about that. Even with the loss of Myles Garrett, I think versus at least an adequate enough replacement. He's not going to set the record for sacks, but he's a good defensive end that I think is going to help them out. We know how talented they are at other positions. I keep saying this, and I know the reports out of camp haven't been great, but I will remind everybody that the reports coming out of camp for Patrick Mahomes before his first season were awful too, and he turned out to be okay. And I'm not saying Watson's going to be Mahomes.
He's all right.
I just think that we make a lot out of these training camp reports. When these guys are testing things out, they're running stuff, they're seeing what they can do. There's all sorts of different nuances to what they're trying. I think we have to potentially be ready for the fact that Deshaun Watson could come back and just be an average quarterback. And if he's an average quarterback, I think this team has something that is better than what the market thinks. I mean, we're heavily shaded to the under here. And I just think that in a division that might be a little bit more competitive than we expect, that the Browns might be able to get to that 6-win mark if Deshaun Watson just shows up and is average for the Cleveland Browns, because that defense is good enough. And I think that is something that I have been scared of, like Joker on the couch, right? In that Joaquin Phoenix movie. He's like, you know, I'm tired of saying it. Like, no, I'm going to say it now. Like, I think the Browns can go over their win total.
If you ever like dreamed of a glass half full Adam Burke dissertation, that was it right there. Well done.
Very good.
More with JBT on the other side. We'll get some college football season longs from him. I don't know, maybe as a baseball play. We'll find out. We'll do that next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back in the numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger, unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. His podcast is Wise Cracks, which he does with John Orlando. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Tweets, Montreal Max, tennis turnaround reminder. After rain delay, the evening started an hour. Iga got off the court at 10:20, but then Rybakina was out on the court till 1 a.m. Yeah, I failed to mention that. And their championship starts at 6 p.m. Eastern here tonight, while Cincinnati is now underway. Yeah, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Brian Pointshaver, Kelly in Nashville for every alcoholic drink mixer. drink mix in a water. A lot of bars, three levels on each bar, and a lot of fun. Enjoy yourself. Chance Copperpot. I've been in Portland for 20 years. I live in the city. I travel all over the country to other major cities. We have the same problems as most. People just like to make things political or believe everything they see on social media. I love it here. There's a shout out for Portland. And Xavier 82, Plant and Profit X in Texas. He's a truck driver, move all over the country, so Novig and Profit X are my primary options in most southern states. Should be back up in 24 hours. Just a brief note on prediction markets, because we were talking about Derek earlier, and Derek was gracious and kind enough to just hang out with me for 10, 15 minutes in the parking lot yesterday. We were talking about all kinds of things. Totally agree on everything he was saying about contests and his unique perspective on them. We were talking about his Detroit Tigers. He completely agrees with my take on the fact that they – even with trading Scooble, they were still trying to thread the needle, was my phrase, and still try to make the playoffs. We were in agreement on that. One thing we probably don't have perfect agreement on is prediction markets. And he had a tweet yesterday, and I think a lot of engagement on his tweet yesterday. And I just want to, you know, for those who, you know, take the position that, you know, prediction markets are, oh, they're nothing but, you know, when you're betting with the market maker, market makers are nothing but illegal bookmakers at that point. Like, I just want to try to be as objective as possible about this. I completely understand why casino operators in regulated states are upset. Sure. I understand, because they paid
gobs and gobs
of money to get licenses, and so they view this as an end around. And I get that. But sometimes in life, that's how the cookie crumbles. And, you know, I would imagine a lot of casino operators probably voted for the guy that's currently in office. And the guy that's currently in office, apolitically speaking, kind of screwed them on three fronts. One, you know, the fact that, you know, Donald Trump Jr. as represented as a symbol of this is on the boards of both Polymarket and Kalshi, kind of screwed gamblers with the taxes, and, you know, Canadians, who are often a big population of patronage at these casinos, kind of infuriated Canadians over time as well. So it's like, hey, sometimes this is what you don't expect what you vote for, and it happens. So I understand why they're upset. Objectively speaking, I totally get that. On the other hand, we have to understand that prediction markets are not always peer to market maker. So to characterize them as such is not accurate. I have a little bit more knowledge than the average person. I'm certainly no expert, but a little bit more knowledge than the average person about what goes on behind the scenes at these places. A lot of it is market maker to market maker, and a lot of it is patron to patron. So it's not exactly how it's being characterized. And I would say for, you know, any person, any casino operator who is upset about this, hey, in like DraftKings did, in jurisdictions where it's allowed, these prediction markets, you're free to go make markets at minus 102. And what I think you will find is that it's harder than you think it is, because you no longer have the benefit of knowing if Rufus is the guy betting into you, or where the sharp bettors are betting and who the square ones are. It's not as easy as you think, but you always have that ability to do that. So it's not as black and white. While I understand that casino operators are angry about the end around and how this now, this federal body, the CFTC, is now regulating these prediction markets, and you have had to abide by these other set of principles, I get it. On the other hand, maybe if you can't beat them, you join them sometimes too, right? You can always invest in them, and there was always those opportunities. So I'm just saying it's not nearly as black and white. I hope we can all sort of disagree respectfully on this kind of thing, that it's not as evil. There's no good and evil here. It just is. And once that, you know, you wonder if this current administration leaves, if this will go back. Maybe, maybe not. It's tough to put that genie back in the bottle. After
very good.
All this time.
Very good. I have to do my little segment here of people that are looking to stay out of jail and these guys looking to break in jail. Okay, so I've been reached out. They reached out to me from Polymarket and Kalshi, people that work there. They know I live in Nevada. They follow me on Twitter, and they both said to me in a week, "Crack, you'll be great at this. This is great. You know, Kalshi, and we have all these things."
And you're I live in Nevada.
And when you can put up markets, you can be the market maker. And the person at Polymarket said the same thing. And I told them, I said, "Listen, you know I live in Nevada, right?" Yeah. They didn't even know.
I bet they don't even know.
They don't even know.
They don't even know.
It's illegal here.
Yeah. If they're like middle management, it's very possible they don't even know.
They don't even know. It's their job
to know.
In all 50 states. No, you're not.
Yeah, it's their job to know.
Yeah, it's their job to know. But yeah. And I'm not trying to pick on them. They're very nice people. They both used to be casino hosts, actually, in the casino. And they've crossed over to, which a lot of people did, sure. especially in the beginning, when the DraftKings and FanDuel were. They all took people from the casino because they had databases of, and don't ever kid yourself. People say, oh, that's very unethical and very illegal to steal databases. They all do it. If you work in a casino,
yeah.
somehow you're going to copy the database for your, it's supposed to be only your clients and your clientele, but somehow it happens all the time. There's always lawsuits about it.
Every host that transfers from casino to casino, that's always
a big
thing.
They bring their clients and they try to bring the clients of that. It's unfortunate. It's unethical, and it actually technically could be illegal if they're caught with it, a list from that casino. But I want to just go back before we get off air here. So my purpose, I talked about it on my podcast yesterday, about never getting a card made in a casino unless you're going to have a big play on your first trip or you're going to give them good play where you're going to get some good offers. So the Treasure Island one, of course, is for all existing card members and new card members. And I'll even give you a little perk there. If you have an existing card with a PIN number, you don't have to even wait online. You can go to the kiosk. They loaded every single card with the $200. You have to just opt in on the kiosk. So that's maybe a way to, if they do have it next week, which they may, but I know they lost a lot. They had to lose a ton of money. I mean, it was a homeless shelter in there. I mean, people, it was pretty bad in there. You know, from what a lot of people told me, they said, wow, this was really bad. Mm. Going back to what I'm saying. So, you don't want to get a card and a new card made in a casino unless you're getting something. Like, people just want to get a card to say, I want to put it in my card collection. No, that means if you're not a gambler, just to have a card is a pretty card, I guess. But no, there's a casino in Illinois recently that had a $2,000 loss rebate. There's another casino in Illinois that you brand new card, you sign up, you get the Rio had, if you get a Rio, remember I talked about it on Twitter, I got 4 million views on Twitter on this. You get a new card at the Rio, you get $500 if you have a diamond card or above at Caesars. If you had an upper-level card or a middle-level card at other casinos, $500 in free play. It was unbelievable. Trust me, they regret doing that. But these places do that. They get desperate to get customers in. Yamava out in L.A. right now is doing a match. So if you get $500 or $1,000, you can go to Yamava. If you have an offer at your current casino and you don't have a card at Yamava, you can bring it there and, hey, or it's inactive for a year. But that's what I'm saying. There's no reason to get a card unless you're planning to give a good play. You know, you always want to give a good play on your first play, and you give that allure, and that you're a bigger gambler than you are by playing more. And, you know, I know maybe you'll lose a little bit of EV there by doing that, but your offers can be really, really good. You have to check that out. This is just to let people know, because people don't know sometimes. They just get a card. Oh, man, I just got a card at the Palms. I didn't realize. Well, Palms will have an offer every year or something. You know, to give you some perks. Now, before we go off again, this was a real... I just read it to Gil during the break. Wow. I mean, some of these places, they just want to bust every living human. So, in New Jersey, this company called A-Wager has partnered with some of the casinos, real land-based casinos, to place slot machines from your house. Real live slot machines in the casino. So, Borgata Online players have the ability to remotely play physical slot machines stream live from regulated environments in the casino. Just think about what I'm saying. Your home, at your house in New Jersey, you can have money on their app, and you can fire on the casino slot machines in their regulated studio environments. It's going to be probably where they deal their blackjack and have their online gaming, but they're all going to get this. And if it's allowed, they're all going to get it. Wow. We're in a time period where you could play slots from your home, from your work,
so you're at home,
real live slot machines.
Push. Press push. It. Press it. Press it. Push. That's what you
press.
Do? You just have to communicate it
press.
Every time?
Press.
Press.
Yeah.
Press. That's ridiculous.
Pull the lever instead. Pull the lever.
Oh, man.
Press. No, hit you know, one coin. No, two coins. Press. I mean, it's unbelievable. Wow. Playing slot machines from home.
Purple Kevin at 11:11. Thank you. He says, I respect you for being objective on prediction markets. I deal with both sides and write about this, and they are two different things. Despite many similarities, it isn't black and white, and the casinos and states look weird being so polarizing. Thank you for that tweet. Purple Kevin at 11:11. Appreciate it. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bill Krakenberger, everybody, at Bill Crackman with the K. Wisecracks, the name of the podcast. Prop Points is next right here at VSiN. Enjoy.